Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. We have as our guest this evening David Lawrence from The David Lawrence Show and Miss Lily von Stupp, his very sexy, wonderful producer of the show. And David has a show which is on Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 102, and he does many, many things which you'll find out during this hour, including finding your natural voice, which is something that David believes in very much, that we all have our natural voice, and sometimes that gets bogged down by just life coming at you a little too fast. David has been on the radio for nearly 30 years as a top-rated air personality on stations like WMAL, WMZQ, and WRQX, Washington, D.C., WGAR, WGCL, and WDMT Cleveland, KC101 New Haven, WTAE Pittsburgh, and WNCI and WLVQ Columbus. He's a founding member and was executive producer of the legendary radio comedy Ensemble, the American Comedy Network. He wrote the best-selling Learn HTML on the Macintosh, the first web design book exclusively for Macintosh users. And he is the voice of America Online's customer service lines, as well as the voice of over 1,500 other interactive voice response telephone systems. And he is one of the most often heard voices in the world, and his past theater and voice work include the role of El Gallo in The Fantastics, as well as parts in The Children's Hour, The Good Doctor, Born Yesterday, The Fall of the House of Usher, and starred as Barry Champlain in Talk Radio. He has performed on stage at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts and is a lifelong member of Mensa. Hello, David.
Hi there. How are you?
My goodness, what a mouthful.
Well, I want to make sure people also know I'm on XM. I mean, I heard Sirius 102, XM 171 as well.
Yes, you know all that
stuff. I don't want to slight all the people that listen on XM. So.
Yes, of course not. And being that you know so much about that and you've put together such a remarkable thing for yourself, then anything that I'm quite saying exactly to the perfection that it needs to be said, you just feel free to let me know what that is.
Everything else was perfect.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so is Miss Lily von Stupp on the line?
I sure am.
Hi there, darling.
Hello.
How are you, diva?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you just a bit about Lily. Lily joined Online Today Incorporated, which is a radio production company that produces three network radio shows, as sales rep in 1998 and quickly moved into affiliate sales. By 2001, Lily was a full-time producer on The David Lawrence Show and VP of Marketing. Lily currently is COO of Online Today Incorporated and remains producing The David Lawrence Show, as she loves working with the excitement of live radio experience. And Lily launched a new career as a burlesque performer in 2003 with her debut at the world-famous Derby in Hollywood, California, now a frequent performer in burlesque at the Derby, and the Three of Tees. Lily is a proud graduate of Bella Beretta's Girl School, Miss Indigo Blues Academy of Burlesque Tassel Twirling, and has had the honor to be featured in the Girl School All-Stars. Lily was a Miss Viva Las Vegas 2005 finalist and recently performed in the 2006 New York Burlesque Festival Showcase. She makes her home in Los Angeles and is an avid collector of burlesque and erotica. Talk about being in touch with your divine feminine.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to Spiritual Hollywood, David and Lily.
Thank you.
And whatever you ever wanted to say about anything on a spiritual realm, on a higher consciousness realm, on a collective consciousness realm, on any topic, anywhere, anyhow, there is nothing too bizarre, because BBSradio.com is, their famous motto is, if it isn't mainstream, it's on BBS Radio.
That's perfect for Lily.
Yes, I know. So give us the rundown on how you got started with the David Lawrence Show, David.
I'm going to have to update my bio because it's now almost 34 years in radio, working for companies that ended up becoming ABC and Clear Channel and Infinity CBS and so on. And in 1990, I switched stations from doing mornings, sort of a morning music show, to a midday talk show when the music station I was working at changed formats. And I was on from 10 to noon Monday through Friday, and my program director said, you got to do something for me on the weekend because you're only working 10 hours a week, and if you're going to be full-time, I got to do something here. So we started doing a series of specialty shows on the weekend, one of which was a show about technology, and there wasn't any show like it on the air in Washington at the time, and it's now currently grown to being more than just a local show. It's now heard, as you said, all across the country on both satellite systems and a number of terrestrial AM and FM stations across the country. And the show is now in its 16th year, and it's all about technology and pop culture, and that's what we talk about. If it has anything to do with what you're talking about at the water cooler tomorrow, we're talking about it, or you're IMing your friends about. That's what we're talking about. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yep.
And I know that you were so gracious to have me a guest on your show recently.
That's a great example. Having you on to talk about entertainment and the sort of the crossover between entertainment and what is sometimes an ugly business, and your efforts to clean up that business to be really centered and spiritual about it. You know, as I said when I had you on my show, I am like the inverse of what most people consider to be spiritual. I have absolutely no belief in a higher power other than those powers that are within us.
Absolutely.
And those, I think, are the most powerful forces at work in the universe.
Yes.
And, you know, being an objectivist and being someone who really pushes back on organized religion and churches that would put fear into you and extract money from you,
mm-hmm.
those are the things that I really work against and try to be as of service as I possibly can to others. And it's amazing what kind of rewards you get from that when you get rid of all of the old dead wallpaper that's all over your body about religion and your upbringing and so on, and really get
mm-hmm.
under the gritty of you and your voice and yourself and being appropriately selfish,
mm-hmm.
Taking care of yourself so you can take care of others,
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things. That's what I concentrate on. So sometimes people look at that and they go, that's not very spiritual at all. There's no word God in there. There's no spirit in there. What's that? It's all about you. And it's really not. It's about being involved in the universe and being involved in what I do for a living and helping others as often as I possibly can.
Well, you said that so eloquently, David. And what I'd like to let you know is that you and I speak the same language. And what you just said is pretty much what BBS Radio is all about. What you're going to find here is everybody who feels the same way you just described your feelings to be. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's like, you know, people will use the term that they use for their higher self. And they use the term creator. They use the term God. They use the term, you name it. There's so many different ways to describe it. But what we're all talking about is that same thing. It's just that many, many people don't understand and realize that that thing they're talking about is them. The person they're looking at the mirror every time they brush their teeth is their higher power.
Right.
Is their higher self. Is their best, highest wisdom. And as long as you learn to trust that, you're walking around with everything you could possibly need for yourself in your life all inside of you. And once you learn that, you bring that forth, and then your life suddenly makes sense, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think we're speaking the same language. And I met an attorney recently who said, coined himself being a spiritual atheist. And I had to laugh, and I thought, I really do understand that. I do not feel threatened by it whatsoever. A spiritual atheist, in my opinion, is somebody who believes the way you just described.
Yeah.
And it's a highly intelligent way to feel, because, you know, in the world of form, we're taught to fear so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that fear that represses our true nature and our spirit, which is our higher self.
Right.
And that, you know, we're walking around with everything we need inside of us. I mean, all we have to do is point and it will show up as long as we have the right belief behind it.
Yeah, it's really interesting how you hear things like this from people who position themselves as experts and gurus and so on, and you wonder sometimes if they drink their own Kool-Aid. You wonder if they understand exactly what they're saying, or
yeah,
just sort of parroting what they've heard in some other inspirational,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? Because everybody learns from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined a group probably 10 minutes after I arrived in Los Angeles, called the Actors Network.
Yes.
And the Actors Network is all about success through service.
Mm-hmm.
And it is give and give and give. Don't be taken advantage of, but give of the heart and give of your time and your services and watch what happens.
Yes.
It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're living your purpose, the universe will show up to support it. And when I say the universe, that's everything working in tandem for you to have what it is that you're working towards. And if it's being of service to others, being of service to the world, that's our true nature. That's who we are. And when we're not being that, when we're not doing that, that's when we fall off our path.
Yeah.
That's when things go awry. And, you know, I'm just tickled pink to have met you and Lily. You know, and it's like when I say Lily von Stupp, I just get such a thrill from that, because she is the divine feminine personified. And when I think of her now, after reading this bio of hers today, all I can think of too is the tassel turning thing. So Lily, I'm gonna ask you to elaborate on that tassel turning thing. How did you put that? What is that called again?
It's tassel twirling. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, tassel twirling.
Yeah, I've got
a visual of it going on in my head, but
it's the art
why don't
form
you tell us
of being
about
able
that?
To have your pasties with your little tassels twirling. And it's silly and it's goofy and it's humorous, and it's kind of one of the things that burlesque is all about.
Yeah.
It's finding that sensual, sexual side of yourself, being yourself and having fun with it.
Body
and that's
fun.
Something a lot of women can't do that. A lot of women, because they were brought up in the church and, you know, your body is shameful and, you know, sex is terrible and all of those things, that they repress all of that.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I turned 37 years old and finally did something that I had wanted to do since I was probably 18, but my whole family was like, you can't do that, that's crazy. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it just, you go through life and you meet people at the right time in the right place, and eventually you come out of that, you know, shell and you come into yourself as a person.
Right. Well, I just can't thank you enough for being an example of that. And would you mind telling us where we can see you coming up?
My next performance will be at Comedy-esque, which is a comedy and burlesque show that's kind of on the blue side, but not too dirty. And it is at the Ramada Inn at 1160. David, what is the road? I can't remember.
It's on Vermont, I think.
Yeah, 1160 Vermont, inside the Ramada Inn downstairs at their lounge. And,
okay, and that, the zip code for that is what?
I'm sorry?
I don't know what the zip code is. I know it's the Los Feliz area.
Oh, okay, got
yeah,
it.
It's,
so it'll be like 90027-ish or something.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This woman has all of the Los Angeles zip codes memorized.
Well, hey, I walk my talk. I'm a good manager. I know their numbers and their addresses, and I don't know
I
their
like
license
that.
Plates. That would be stalking, but almost. So what day and what time?
That's going to be Thursday night. It starts at 8 p.m., and I will be there. One of my friends, La Cholita, will be there. Trying to think who the third girl is. I can't
remember.
That's the
12th of October.
Yeah.
That's coming up. That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Wonderful. And what time again?
8 p.m.
8 p.m. Okay. Now, is that an environment where there's dinner and a show, or is it just a show?
No, it's just a bar. Yeah, it's just
a bar where you're doing
inside.
The burlesque.
Yeah, sometimes
it's
going to
be
that,
just off the charts absolutely crazy that night, isn't it?
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. There's a lot of great comedians. Jay London is going to be there. Cynthia Levin is going to be there. Mike Moratori is going to be there. Billy Devlin. So there's great comedy and there's a lot of fun with burlesque.
If anybody remembers The Missing Link from, was it season two?
Season two of
Last Comic Standing, Jay London. That's who she was talking about.
Oh, great. I think that burlesque and comedy go so well together. It just reminds me of vaudeville.
Absolutely, because burlesque came out of vaudeville.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been collecting burlesque since I was 7 years old and ran across my dad's Playboy.
Oh, I know. I love seeing in your apartment all these wonderful little things you have, your little miniature leopard sofa. And
oh, you wouldn't believe. I mean, I have autographed pictures of Lily St. Cyr and Tempest Storm, who is a legend.
Are you a fan of Mae West?
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things she said that really cracks me up, and I'll repeat it now and then, I can't help myself, it's, how's about coming up to my place for a little scotch and sofa?
Yep. I use a lot of her
lines. Tell me one you know. Tell me one I haven't heard, Lily.
Oh, gosh. I was just listening to a CD of hers as well, and my mind is just blank right now.
That's okay. It'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy most about the burlesque?
The thing that I find empowering about it, as opposed to people who are strippers, and I don't look down on them, if that's what you want to do and that's how you want to make your money, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
But with burlesque, it's more about the person and the personality than it is about the body.
Uh-huh.
In burlesque, some of the greatest performers are huge women.
Gypsy Rose Lee?
Current burlesque, I should say. The headliners were always still the classical perfect body heroes, Lily St. Cyr, Tempest Storm, Dixie Evans, you know, that type of stuff. But
so personality driven.
Yes, but in burlesque you find more of the Marilyn Monroe types. You
right.
find the women who are
voluptuous.
Voluptuous, yeah.
Yes. And you are.
And happy with themselves, not constantly going, I have to lose another 10 pounds, I need to get my breath done, I need to make my nose better.
Yes.
And in L.A., it's a wonderful thing to see. We get a lot of guys that come in that, you know, are normally the strip club crowd,
mm-hmm.
and they come in and they say things like, I never realized how beautiful and sexy and sensual a woman is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm used to seeing gorgeous bodies with lingerie hanging off of them like hangers, but
yeah.
like you get up there and watching you take a glove off was more exciting than getting a lap dance. And it's like,
oh, right.
yeah,
okay.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
It's about owning your own sexuality, your sensuality, and being happy with your whole being.
Yes. And David, how do you feel about this burlesque dancing that Lily does?
You know, she's always been a free spirit. It's one of the things that makes her really effective in my organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that she totally believes in. I mean, she goes and volunteers her time. The legends of burlesque, the people that are getting on in age,
mm-hmm.
60, 70, 80 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can't do some of the things for themselves that they could before, and she's very active about that. The fact that she's performing is a huge victory for her because she was always very enamored of those dancers, but
yes.
never really thought she could fit in on stage with them. And to see her up on stage, not only with them, but headlining in events and dancing for them and having them applaud for her, I know has to be a personal victory of extraordinary magnitude.
Yes, I have no doubt whatsoever. I think I'll be going to see this show on Thursday night.
Oh, I hope so.
I would love to. And I, you know, I just am so thrilled. I'm looking at my calendar and I don't have anything there except you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
oh,
I'm going to go and take pictures. Am I allowed to?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
So everybody listening who's in the Los Angeles area, I think you should treat yourselves and go and see the show. Is there a number that people can call, Lily, to get in to see you?
You don't need to make reservations. Just show up. There's no cover charge. There's no anything.
Well, is there a number they can call you so in case they don't exactly have where the place is at or they're having a problem with it?
All the information is actually located at my website, which is burlesquevixen.com.
Burlesquevixen.com?
Yep.
And that is, just so, just for clarity's sake for everybody, I know I sent out an email and I put burlesque.com. I don't know what happened with that.
It happened.
But I wanted to correct that now that we're on the air. It is actually Burlesque, B-U-R-L-E-S-Q-U-E, Vixen, V-I-X-E-N .com, no spaces. And you'll get all the information there for Lily von Stipp.
Yay.
And it'd be fun to see everybody there because I'm going to be there, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Are you going to be there, David, or are you going to be on the air?
I am. We're going to do a best of that night, and I'm going to be there. Cynthia Levin, who's a frequent guest on the show, is one of the comedians that's going to be there. She's brilliant. She's at the Comedy Store all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, Jay London. And there's also going to be Judy. Does Judy have a stage name? I think I only know her real name.
Judy Carter?
No.
She goes by Juliet now. I can't pronounce her last name. It's like Cinciato.
Oh, she uses her real name? Okay, so then it's Judy Cinciato.
Cinciato.
She's like the MC and host.
She's a brilliant woman as well. She's very inspiring because
fun.
She is not afraid to do what needs to be done to make herself successful.
Right.
And I really admire that. And that's one of the things that I admired in all of the women of burlesque as well, is they just kind of looked at the face of society and said, I am me and deal with it.
You know, I think every woman who's married should have a pole in their bedroom.
Absolutely.
And should use it often and keep that sucker greased.
You know, no matter what you weigh, no matter what you look like, no matter if you've had a mastectomy, whatever,
uh-huh.
When you put on a sexy outfit and a pair of high heels and you walk into the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
If you're 500 pounds, it makes no difference. Because if you walk into that bedroom with love in your heart and looking at the person that you love,
mm-hmm.
They will look at you and you're a goddess to them.
Yes.
You know, you just have to feel the confidence in yourself.
You can get a lot of mileage out of a thong and a pair of high heels.
Yes, you can.
You guys are driving me a little bit crazy here.
I think I'm driving myself a little bit crazy.
You know,
I think this must be the steamiest show we've had yet, but that's okay. It's for the complexion.
Don't stop.
I just
wanted to let you know.
Yes, I'm with you there. I'm starting to get turned on by myself.
If you don't hear anything coming from my end of the conversation, I'm just busy, okay?
I'm going to out David because David also has a very sensual side, and a lot of people don't know that. He was in a show called Dirty Something, which was
mm-hmm.
three women talking about sex from the perspective of a woman rather than the perspective of a man.
Wow.
And David was the card boy. He had a pair of gold lamé boxer shorts and the Chippendale collars and cuffs.
Cute.
And he would walk out with the card and change the topics.
Cute.
And the audience loved him. And David's not, you know, he's not exactly Chippendale, you know.
I was.
David's adorable.
But then I got older.
Yeah, you know, David's on the heavy
side.
So
you got better.
But he's smart, he's funny, he's all those things.
Yes.
And by the end of the night, you know, women were slipping him their telephone numbers. It was hysterical.
Wow.
So it's all that finding it in yourself and bringing it out, whether it's sexuality or whether it's, you know, working and dealing with people. I mean, I love radio because it's live, it's happening, you're right in the middle of it, and if a mistake happens, you just have to work through it and go on.
Yes.
And if you treat your whole life that way rather than, oh, I'm afraid to do that because if I do that, I might embarrass myself.
Right.
You'll never find all of the joy out of life that you can have.
Lily, you said that just so beautifully. What a wonderful analogy. Thank you for sharing that part.
You're welcome.
And it's absolutely true. And like what you were saying about David's performance and how women were slipping him their phone numbers by the time he was finished, it's all about finding the beauty within. And here's something I like to say. The true definition of beautiful, in my opinion, is be you to the fullest. Beautiful.
Yep.
Be you to the fullest. And when you're doing that, then you are living your highest purpose and you are being in your highest wisdom and you are appreciating and respecting your higher self. And that's, you know, we are made in the image and likeness of our creator, whatever that is, and how could we not be that? And when you're not appreciating that, this archaic term sin, to apply it to anything, it would be that. You apply it to the times where you don't remember who you really are. To me, that's the biggest blasphemy. If there is any. So to talk about burlesque and to talk about finding your natural voice and all of that, I think the two of you are absolutely perfect for this show because, I mean, everything that we've discussed now for the last 26 minutes is pure BBS radio.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful. And I want to know a little bit more, David, if we could, about finding your natural voice. Tell me how you came to that and what your intention is around that.
Well, I mean, I've been a voice actor for most of the years that I've been doing radio, and part of that the reason it hasn't been the whole time is because when I was growing up, I was enamored of DJs that you would hear on the radio. Most of them shouted. Most of them affected a DJ-type voice. I certainly did when I first started off, and it got me into trouble. I had no breadth. I had no variance in my voice, whether it was sad news or happy news. It was all given with the highest volume and a top 40 approach. And so, you know, something as horrific as the Pope dying,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I played Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young in honor of his death and introduced it with that same, you know, pukey DJ voice and got fired for it because the people in the diocese of Columbus, Ohio, where I was working, they complained to the station so horribly. That song was on their Do Not Listen To because it has lyrics in it like, come on, Virginia, don't make me wait. Catholic girls start much too late.
Mm.
And so, you know, for me to dedicate, I mean, for me, the Pope John Paul I was in office for 31 days before
mm-hmm.
he passed away. And in that time, he seemed to me to be a very human person. I saw him on CBS on the evening news,
mm-hmm.
and he was giving a homily at St. Peter's Square, and he called an altar boy over, and he was talking to the altar boy, not to the crowd, but to the altar boy, one-on-one about honoring your mother and father.
Wow.
Now, the kind of, you know, I've never been to Italy, but I do know, I have some idea as to what kind of effect the Pope has on a largely Roman Catholic population.
Yes.
And that little boy just being his hand held by the Pope and being spoken to in that way, so familiar by the Pope,
mm-hmm.
Will go back to his village or neighborhood in Rome, and he is like a saint.
Right.
That's the kind of power that this guy had. And his life was snuffed out very, very quickly after he'd achieved the Pope being Pope.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that on the air. I said, you know, only the good die young. This guy died too young for me. And because I had absolutely no color or variance between that and the weather and the traffic and all, it was all given at high volume, you know, people thought I was joking. They thought I was joking around. So, you know, that got me thinking, and it really was a long period of time in me sort of like stripping away that and just trying to find my voice.
Yes.
When I'm on the air.
Yes.
And it was helped in no small measure by working with Avery Schreiber. I don't know if you remember Avery Schreiber from Burns and Schreiber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was best known as one half of a comedy team, but he was also an exponent of the Spolin technique of improv. He was a terrific acting coach, and he really was the one that said, you bring more than enough to every role that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you don't have to put on any sort of voice for your radio work. You can just be yourself.
Yeah.
And believe me, it'll be fine. The energy of the music will carry you along. Let that be your energy, or the energy of the phone conversation that you're having on a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really do strip away all the artifice, all of the learned habits, all of the opportunities to be someone else rather than to be your authentic self, when you strip away all that, all of the artifice, and leave only the real, only the authentic, only the true,
mm-hmm.
your natural voice can't help but come through. It's an unstoppable force.
Yes, and I'm grinning from ear to ear because you are so speaking my language, and that's exactly the way I coach and the way I manage, and that's what I bring my clients to. And it doesn't matter what age they are. You know, life comes at them, and it causes wounds and injuries, and they don't even know that they don't know they're carrying this stuff with them. And just by talking to them and being with them and working with them, I managed to help them strip away what doesn't belong to them. And before they know it, they've got the life that they wanted.
Yeah.
And that sounds exactly like what you're up to as well, David. And, you know, I acknowledge you for that.
Well,
so what was it you did at the podcast? What was that, the podcast convention?
Portable Media Expo, Portable Media and Podcast Expo.
Uh-huh.
Podcasting is just huge. I mean, people can get your show via podcast methods. They can get you via streaming. They can get you via download. They can hear you live. And the same thing with my radio shows. I make all those things available to my listeners as well. Podcasting, for the most part, though, is people that find something missing from commercial or professional radio and want to fill those holes either by doing their own content or talking about things that they're very enthusiastic about. And it runs the gamut from very technical podcasts all the way to, fetish podcasts and no FCC oversight, which is a huge draw for many people who are in the business.
Amazing.
Well,
right.
Last year, you know, people usually book me to talk about how to make money with their online audio, podcasting, streaming, et cetera. I'm very good at that. And I'm speaking at the NAB at the end of the month on that with a group of studio or group heads broadcast heads about this. But what they've asked me to do is now switch over to this natural voice thing, because this is the year of podcasters, even though they push back on everybody who's a professional broadcaster, I don't want to sound like a professional broadcaster, I just want to sound like me. Great. Then do that. Mm-hmm. And really do that. Don't just talk the talk, but stop sounding like you're trying to push back against broadcasting and really just speak from the heart. Whatever that heart is, whatever dark or light place that heart lays in, speak with enthusiasm and expertise and fire and really grab your audience by the lapels. The title that they gave me, it wasn't the title of my session, it was the title of my session. It's not the title of my program. The title of the session was being irresistibly drawn to your audience and your audience being irresistibly seduced by your voice.
Mm.
And that's what happens. No matter what your political position, no matter what your sexual orientation, mm-hmm. when you find someone that you want to listen to and you can't help but watch it, even if it's a train wreck, or listen to it, even if it's horrific, it's because they've captured your imagination. They have sucked you in and drawn you into their world, and they're not letting go. And those people that have become hugely successful in broadcasting, one of the examples that I used was the very first man to change the paradigm about broadcasting, and that man was Arthur Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Up until Arthur Godfrey, in the late 40s, early 50s, the announcers would say things like, "Hello, radio audience, listening to us from high atop the Chaplin Hotel in beautiful downtown." You know, they had this sort of speaking on high kind of attitude. But
yes.
then Arthur Godfrey got on the radio, and he lowered his voice, and he said, "Lady, I know what you need in your kitchen. You are stressed out, and you need some Lipton tea." And he spoke directly to one person.
Yes.
That was revolutionary in the world of radio, to speak to one person. But partly because we had become a fragmented society. In the old days, families did sit around the radio and watched the radio.
Yes.
The way we watch television today.
Yes, and, I've done it even.
Yeah. And then as, you know, radios were in cars and radios were portable, you know, they became portable. We became a one person, one receiver society. And so the change was perfect at that point. And I played some audio for them of him very deftly moving from introducing or coming out of an act that had been playing into a Lipton commercial, and then on to introducing the next act. And there wasn't a stop down. There wasn't a jingle. He worked his magic of promoting Lipton tea specifically out of what that group had done and what the next group was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all on the fly and it was all off the cuff, and he was brilliant at it. And I said, if you'd learn nothing from this, think about what your audience is doing while they're listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the fact that you have earphones in their ears. And you're privately talking with them. Yeah, they may be listening to you on speakers, but most of them are listening to you with headphones. So think about all the things around how they're consuming what you're saying. And then we brought some people up out of the audience. It's amazing how most people are concerned about the little vocal peccadilloes that they have when they speak, the
mm-hmm.
breaths and the ums and the ahs and the pitching and the clucking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And getting them to ignore that and concentrate on, I mean, there are people who do their podcast for an hour and then spend 3 more hours editing out all the breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're killing me. You're killing you. You're
right.
Going to stop doing this after a while because it's so much work, and I don't want that to happen. So forget that. Just concentrate on the content.
Right.
It was sort of like giving them permission to be themselves, giving them permission to use the voice that they use when they're the most excited about things, when they're the most enthusiastic and most connected to the subject that they're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's what My Natural Voice is all about.
Yeah, and if I may interject, David, you and I spoke about this when I was being interviewed on your show, is enthusiasm. The root word of enthusiasm is entheos, which means God, higher self, creator. And enthusiasm is when you are being your true nature, when you're being your highest, best self. That's what enthusiasm means. And when somebody's being enthusiastic, I don't care if they're selling shoes or if they're taking away your garbage, you're captivated by them because they're being in spirit about what they're doing. You know they're being their purpose, and you're drawn to that because there's a calling to you. Like if anyone saw that penguin story, The March of the Penguins.
Sure.
Well, the little baby penguin is standing near the ocean after mom and dad jump in after they've done their job. They just brought the baby to the shore, and they dive into the ocean and leave it there. And it'll stand there for days at a time sometimes, looking at the ocean, knowing it has a relationship with the ocean, but not knowing quite what that relationship is until all of a sudden it will go into the water, and then it realizes, oh, I'm home. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is to, like, to find your true voice, to find your natural voice. It's like, you know, you have a relationship with it, but if you're afraid to go near it, you're not going to get to be that. You're not going to get to live, not really.
Right.
So that's what, you know, what a wonderful movie. It's so filled with metaphors.
You know, it's interesting that you mention March of the Penguins, because one of the guests that we had on the show was Alex Werman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the narrator on March of the Penguins was one character. The penguins were all other characters. And then the music was the third character in that film. It really, the soundtrack really helped make that film. Mm-hmm. You know, the American version of it, there was a French version before it,
mm-hmm.
really added to that. And talk about your natural voice. I mean, that's exactly what it was. And, you know, when Lily, you know, not to bring it back to her, but when Lily...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. When she chooses the music that she dances to, the different things that she dances to, I've seen her sometimes take days to come up with, you know, what she wants to do and what music she wants to use. She is very, very... careful and precise about making sure that she chooses the right stuff.
Right.
So it's brilliant.
Yes, and you know, that's a wonderful thing that you brought up. I mean, if you think about it, David and Lily, if you're watching any feature film, I don't care what it is, and the soundtrack is really beautiful and it really, really adds to the film and brings it to life, that is like another character.
Absolutely.
Sure.
It is like a whole other character, and what a wonderful analogy. I never thought of it like that until you mentioned it.
Yeah, well, we just got finished doing the soundtrack for a short that I shot in Nashville over the summer,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we added one final instrument, a tuba, that really made the difference in how the soundtrack felt and worked with the movie, and I sat and I watched in the recording session in Nashville Raleigh Maines, who was the guy who wrote the score, deal with the tuba guy in a way that really served the movie well. I mean, they were playing against picture, which means the movie was playing up on the screen and the tuba player was playing against the music and watching the picture at the same time, and you could actually watch him watch the images and adjust his music accordingly. So that was just thrilling to watch.
Oh, I'm sure, and I can only imagine what the tuba did for it, because I know the content of your short film. You mind talking about that a little bit? Are you able to?
It's, you know, getting back to voice, it's about a mentally challenged man who loses his mother about 38 years into life and is really lonely, and whose friends are telling him he should be, you know, he should be getting out there and getting some friendship and not being lonely and finding love. And so he's leafing through the newspaper and he finds some ads that say, hey, lonely, need love? Call 1-900-555-1222, and he does. He strikes up a conversation with a phone sex operator, and the conversation doesn't go quite as either one of them had planned it to go. I mean, he's looking for love, she's looking for a credit card number, and they both change each other's lives. And the tuba plays sort of this, like, you know, it's almost like, you know, Peter and the Wolf is the ultimate example of an instrument as a character,
mm-hmm.
and the tuba definitely plays the character of sort of the man-child discovering something of his adult world that he was sheltered from by his late mother.
Yes, he was looking for a special purpose, like in The Jerk.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I cry every time I see the film.
Wow.
It is amazing to me, because have you ever walked down the street and seen someone that, you know, had come back from war and is missing a leg now, or, you know, has a scar on their face, and you normally just walk by and you don't think twice about it?
Mm-hmm.
I always walk by those people and I think there's something inside them that is so wonderful, and I hope they find the person that sees that. Because in LA, especially, it's all about what you look like, what you drive, what you, and in reality, it's all about what's inside. And when you watch David go from this character at the beginning that you're giggling at because he's so goofy, to having him have this real true conversation with a woman and finding a connection, you melt inside. It's like that is so
wonderful.
No,
I'm extremely drawn by this story, and can't wait to see it. And have it all put together and see what you can do with that, David.
We got all the DVDs today, so you can certainly have one.
Oh, I'm so glad. Sure. Well, tell our listeners how you thought about this premise in the first place, how you were talking to a friend back and forth, and you always use this voice.
It's really weird. We did, you mentioned earlier when you were introducing us, and thank you very much for that, that I helped found what is to this day the premier morning show prep service for radio, and that's the American Comedy Network. Each week we would send out a reel and now a CD of fake commercials and song parodies and fake interviews with the mayor and the president and blah, blah, blah. And one of the bits that we did was a fake commercial called The Personals, where you would hear outtakes from people who were never going to get a date from a personal service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters was this Wallace character who just, you know, you just knew he was just such a buffoon, he's never going to get a date. And it was just one line in one bit that was of a number of bits that got sent out that week, and it just sort of stuck in my head and Bob Pondillo's head, Bob James, the guy that that directed the film and is one of my lifelong friends, the reason I'm in radio, actually. I grew up listening to him in Cleveland, radio there. And, we would just call each other on the phone and just, you know, be in the middle of the conversation, just be goofy with each other and do this voice and other voices.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, we really should write a script about Wallace. You know, it's been 20 years and I have no idea, but it'd be fun to find out. And that's what we did. And we've also started working on the feature version of this, the feature length version of it, where after this conversation is over, what happens to Wallace and this Tiffany girl on the phone? That's exactly where it came. And the tiniest things, the tiniest little nuggets of vocalization, again, back to your natural voice,
can
create these big things at a moment's notice.
Yes, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles happened in a similar way, where these two guys were just like had the munchies at 4 a.m. and they were smoking their bowl and drawing pictures on little pieces of paper and turning them into paper airplanes and shooting them at each other. And then this one drew the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and flew it over to his buddy. He opens it up and he's like, wow, this is amazing. This is incredible. And they both got very enthusiastic and excited and started adding to it and adding to it. And let's make him this and let's put him on a mask on him and let's give him this weapon and all of this. And look at how many millions of dollars they made.
Yep, the new 3D version is out this year.
Oh, wonderful. My son would love to know that.
Yeah.
But my son had to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and a Ghostbuster and anything else that was going on out there. So, if you don't put what's in your hero's heart into action, then the world doesn't get to benefit and you're ripping us off. And if you don't speak your natural, authentic voice, you're ripping us off. And you're ripping yourself off. And, that's kind of maybe a crude way to put it, but it's actually reality.
Yeah.
If you don't let us find out who you really, really, no kidding, are, warts and all, and your warts are generally the most wonderful thing about you, the things you hide.
Well, I am not going to hide my warts. I'm going to tell you that I am David Lawrence, and I have to go do my radio show right now.
Okay. Well, David, thank you so much. And where can our listeners hear the interview that I did for your show? Is it possible? Is it up somewhere in an archive?
Absolutely. You can go to thedavidlawrenceshow.com. Just search for Kate Romero. You'll come up in the archives from a couple weeks ago when you were on the show. And it's right there. The podcast that you were on with me afterwards is there for people to grab as well. You can go onto the podcast tab at thedavidlawrenceshow.com.
Wonderful.
So I
want to give a shout out to Rob Ilk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's listening.
Hi,
yeah, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Rob is brilliant. He's just great, and he brought me into your world. So.
Yes, he did, and he's been in mine for a while. I'm his manager. He's my client. He's absolutely incredible. I don't think he knows how incredible he is, but we're going to show him.
He doesn't know how incredible he is.
Yeah, well, we're going to show him.
All right, cool.
So nice talking with you, David. And Lily, are you able to stay on or do you have to jam?
I kind of have to go too, unfortunately.
Okay, well, I'm coming to see you on Thursday, and David, you'll be there too. I'll come and I'll talk to you later about that. Maybe tomorrow we'll catch up.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much for being a guest tonight. Listeners, that was David Lawrence and Lily von Stupp of the David Lawrence Show. Give out your station call letters again.
XM 171, which will be later on tonight, 9 to midnight West Coast time, midnight to 3 a.m. East Coast time, but live on Sirius 102 in about 14 minutes.
Wonderful. Break a leg, not literally.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if anybody wants to call in, right now would be a good time because we still have a few minutes. And I'm just so fortunate and so blessed to get such wonderful guests on the show. I am just never, I mean, never take for granted what a person has to say, or that if I think I know what they're going to say, I'm always surprised. And I believe personally with my whole heart that the highest compliment we can pay any person is not to know what they're going to say next, because you will always be surprised if you just let a person be who they are in front of you without trying to predict or premeditate or determine what it is they're about to say to us. Because if we approach it that way, they'll never get to be who they are for us, and they wouldn't stand a chance. So I'm just extremely grateful for these marvelous guests, and for everyone in my world that speaks their true authentic self to me, and that really loves it when I speak my authentic self to them. And I just want to talk just a second about who our guests are next week. It's going to be the Wonders. The Wonders are going to be my guests next week, and that's Renee Gaudet and his wife Maggie, and they channel a group of entities called the Wonders, and they're a collective energy consciousness, and they're channeled by deep trance channeling. Renee does that with the assistance of Maggie, his wife, and the Wonders describe themselves as a group of entities numbering between 3,000 and 4,000 and residing on the 29th dimension of reality, where all reality is comprised of 32 dimensions, with God and Goddess and the All that is residing on the 32nd dimension. So that's going to be very, very exciting next week on Tuesday from 6 to 7. And I'm just thinking about all the different things that are possible in the world of entertainment, and why spiritual Hollywood, in my opinion, is so important and so exciting, is that it's the most marvelous tool that we have to get the word out about who we really are, who our authentic true nature is, and that's love, joy, happiness, prosperity, abundance, and just you name it, anything that feels absolutely like authentic truth to you when you hear it is who you are. And anytime we're experiencing pain or discord or an interruption in our abundance on any level, it's coming from, in my humble opinion, a need to forgive ourselves for something, because when we have a lack of forgiveness in our lives, it causes us to block all the good that's just flowing to us, and everything is just constantly flowing to us as our birthright. And it's those times we get lost that we doubt ourselves, that we stop believing. And there's a phrase that I like to use, and instead of saying I'll believe it when I see it, I'm a stickler for believing that I will see it when I believe it. And that's the way I like to work. And I know when I'm speaking to people who are in law enforcement or the court system or bureaucratic, anywhere, the post office, you name it, people who are trained by the book where things are black and white, it's very interesting to speak with these people, because they are so much in the world of form that, you know, their idea of spirituality is the dogma that they have been taught when they were little, and that God is somebody to fear, as a fearful, vengeful God, and we have to toe the line, and there's heaven and there's hell. And, you know, what I hope to do with Spiritual Hollywood, even on a small scale, you know, as one person, I know I can make a difference, and I know each one of you can make a difference. What I hope to do is to inject compassion and wisdom and lots of love, and as Pollyanna as that might sound, those are the ingredients that shift consciousness to change our world. And I believe that there's a critical mass taking place, and there's a gathering taking place where many of us who incarnated together as group souls are rediscovering one another. And I know for me, gosh, I rediscovered probably 20 or 30 people in the last year that I really feel a deep affinity for, that this lifetime can't explain. And I know that we have something we're all supposed to do together, and that's how this radio show came about. Don and Doug Newsom are some of the most wonderful human beings that I've come across, and their heart and their intention is so obvious that they are breaking their backs bringing all of these wonderful shows to us, and they're just doing everything they can to make it better and better and better all the time. So if anyone is having any trouble signing on, registering or having trouble understanding, they really, really are doing a remarkable job, even if it's not an exact science. It is something that is taking on a momentum that will, you know, find its own perfection. And you know, I listen to these shows all day long, and I just can't get enough of them. I'm growing so fast, it's like I practically have stretch marks on my brain and on my heart. And you know, the Spirit moves me to say this right now. Anytime you think you've had your heart broken, and I know all of us have felt that way, and a lot of us are feeling that way right now, this very minute, rather than look at it as having your heart broken, I think that it would really be a truthful statement to look at it as having your heart expanded. And anytime there's quick growth like that, where you're forced into just an instantaneous growth like that, it's going to feel uncomfortable for a minute. It's going to feel uncomfortable for a while, for a time. Anytime that we're grieving for something, a loss of anything, the same thing is happening. Our world is expanding. It's really getting bigger, not smaller, because of the experience itself. And, you know, in the mornings when I wake up and I choose my consciousness for the day, because it's like getting dressed for the day. It's like, what am I going to wear? Am I going to wear a hat? Am I going to wear braids? I'm going to wear a ponytail. I'm going to wear my sweatsuit. What am I going to do? When I wake up in the morning, I choose the consciousness that I'm going to be for the day. And one day I chose every consciousness I have in my consciousness closet, which is the consciousness of forgiveness, the consciousness of perfect health, the consciousness of driving safely, the consciousness of love, the consciousness of being a good mom, the consciousness of being a fantastic manager, the consciousness of being an incredible friend, the consciousness of understanding, the consciousness, you name it, anything you can possibly fathom, that's in my consciousness closet. And any one of us can just metaphorically look at that and choose that and find something to be for the day, or write down three or four things from your consciousness closet and just fold that piece of paper up and keep it with you throughout the day. And anytime you get stuck or feel panicky or fearful, you know, just pull that piece of paper out and look at what you committed to for the day, and it'll put you right back on course. And it seems so simple, because it is. And nobody can prevent you from having everything you want except what's going on between your ears. And that is the only place it exists. You can't take a bunch of money and go out in the world and buy a bunch of, I'm having a breakdown in my life, it's just not for sale. It's between our ears, and that's where everything starts. And I encourage all of us to be really, really good to ourselves and really find that the person that you've always been looking for has been you. It's been you. And when you truly step into that and grow into how big you are, then you're going to have, be, and do everything you ever wanted in this life. And it is just that simple. It's just shifting your consciousness, because shift happens. And we're coming into the final countdown of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I've announced who we're having on next week. That would be the Wonders, and I'm so excited that they're going to be with us on October 24th, I think. What is today? Today is the 10th. I skipped a week. The 17th. The 17th. Oh, my goodness. It looks like I don't have anyone for the 17th. And if anybody who's listening right now who feels like you'd make a really great guest on the show, just contact me at guardianangelmgt@fbcglobal.net. And let's talk about the 17th, because I'm pretty anal about planning things, but I'm going to trust that this happened for a reason, and I will be having a surprise guest come next Tuesday. So if you love the show, if you hate the show, if you have no opinion about the show, let us know. We encourage everything that you have to say. This is Kate Romero, Spiritual Hollywood, and my website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces, in case you want to see what's going on with Guardian Angel. I do my best to keep that updated pretty regularly, and I again thank our guests, David Lawrence and Lily von Stutt, and I really hope I see many of you at her show on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, because I think it's going to be a really, really good time. And keep loving yourselves and taking care of yourselves, and I'm going to say au revoir until next week, and have a great week. Bye-bye.